how are you doing on this beautiful morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing just great. Another beautiful day. And before we get started, what is your name, please, ma'am?
Jennifer Ruiz.
Okay, you took that one, you took that one first. The Honorable Mr. Neal is going to conduct your hearing at this time, so just hang on and he'll be with you very shortly now.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Okay, for the record, would you say your full name and ABC number?
270-438.
And your full name?
Jennifer Juarez Reed.
Thank you. You were coming from the Federal Board of Executive Committee this morning in reference to your committee source application. I'm going to introduce the board members that conduct your hearing at this time. And as you look at the screen, in the far left is Honorable Michael Johnson. We have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who got a board term. And to your far right is the Honorable Louis Tenonis. And my name is David Wheel, and I'll be the hearing you this morning. Also in the witness today, we have the Honorable Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the pro-office today. So, part of this hearing, you received a notification from the advisory unit of the board hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes.
Okay, on that form, we notified your right to appear and speak on your own behalf of obtaining a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or you represent yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, I'm going to swear you, Mr. Westby, in at this time. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, or be you so firm?
I do.
So you heard me about the two phases of this morning. In phase one, we determined the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your warrant, and then I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so allegation one is violation of railroad condition of supervision number two. Failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer demonstrated by your failure to establish and maintain residence at B-Way, 7114 or 66 Drive in Bidwell, Arizona. Has verbally directed by a verbal direct on your intake on November 28, 2018. Is that true or false?
Can you repeat the question?
Okay, it's the allegation, and I'll read the allegation again, and then I'm going to ask you if it is true or false. So you're in that area. I'm going to come in violation of verbal condition of supervision number two. Failure to follow the directive of your assigned parole officer as demonstrated by your failure to establish and maintain residence at V-Way 7114 North 66 Drive in Glendale, Arizona, as verbally directed during your intake on November 28, 2018. Your parole officer unknown, and thus you were absconded from supervision. So is that true or false?
True.
Okay, so based on the admissions of Ms. Reed, I'm going to move to find a supervision as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have lacks in back lacks in criminal ways for company.
Second, agree.
Agree.
Motion on the second standard by Mr. Canoes, agreed by Dr. White and Mr. Johnson. Okay, ma'am, I am going to, we are going to move into phase two in a couple of minutes, but before we do, Mr. Westby is going to give us some background information, so stay on the phone, and I'll get back with you in a couple minutes, okay?
All right.
Mr. Westby.
On November 28, 2018, Ms. Ruiz was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested December 12, 2018 by Phoenix PD, no new charges. She is back in DOC custody that same day with an adjusted community supervision end date of April 13, 2019, 14 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016, forgery, 2.5 years. She has prior convictions in 2000, 2012, drug paraphernalia, 9 months. 2012, resisting arrest, 9 months. 2013, aggravated domestic violence, 1 year. 2013, unlawful alcohol acts, 6 months. In 2013, aggravated assault, 9 months. This is her third term in DOC. CUIR score 4.4, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. No prior terms of her prior term of supervision in 2012 is a TIS release. Arrested on a debt violation, reached CSED prior to seeing the BOEC. Her disciplinary violations are significant with disorderly conduct, criminal damage, sex acts, threats, violence, and staff assault noted. After her release from DOC, she received disciplinary on January 9, 2019 for disrespecting staff, guilty minor violation. 2019, disobeying verbal written orders, guilty minor violation. 2019, disorderly conduct, guilty major violation. January 11, 2019, theft or possession of stolen property, guilty minor violation. And January 14, 2019, disobeying verbal written orders, guilty major violation. Other arrest, 2011, domestic violence, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. She's had arrest in 2012 through 2016. However, those charges were either dismissed or not filed. Her community risk score is a G5, E5.
Thank you, sir. Okay, then, we're going to go over a summary of the case submitted. So, November 28, 2018, you were released from prison. Looks like you were released homeless, but on the same day, CCO Murray were able to get you approved a V-Ray. When you failed to report V-Ray and the no address provided. So, why didn't you go to V-Ray, Matt?
I felt like I was being harassed by a parole officer at the parole office.
Did you think about talking to the parole officer supervisor?
I have no proof of it.
Okay, so because you think you were being harassed at the parole office, you didn't go to the halfway house you were supposed to go to. But the PO wouldn't be there at the halfway house. So you didn't even go and check in. Where'd you go?
I don't check in.
Where'd you go?
I was homeless.
For the whole 14 days, whole 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay, what were you doing at the Mount Phoenix PD to you? You were doing something that caught their attention. What were you doing?
I didn't do anything. They actually just showed up on their own because there was something going on with somebody else. And they had to go to the hospital, and I guess when that person went to the hospital called the police, and the people that took that person to the hospital told them where they picked that person up. So the police ended up showing up at that place where that, whatever, I don't know what happened to that person, but they showed up there and ended up asking me my name.
Wow.
They were actually in bed. Yeah, they. I don't know what they were doing, but they asked my name.
Okay. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but so a person gets hurt bad enough to go to the hospital, and because they, the manner in which they were hurt, the hospital had to call the police. And when the police found out where the location of this occurrence, they went back there, and you were there at the place that this person got hurt, but you didn't know anything about it. Okay. So, you were out 2 weeks, so I take it you didn't have any employment.
No.
Were you doing drugs?
No.
What about alcohol?
No.
No. So you were out there with all those homeless people that get in trouble by beating other people up, but you didn't do any drugs or any alcohol while you're out there.
I didn't do any drugs and alcohol, and I wasn't with anybody at the time of my arrest.
So where does your family live?
I couldn't tell you.
You couldn't tell me, or you wouldn't tell me?
I couldn't tell you.
Because you don't know?
Yes.
Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Johnson?
Mr. East, I just have one question. Where were you at to keep saying at this place? What is this place?
It was a park.
A park?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You know, that doesn't narrow it down very much. Do you have any rough idea what the cross streets were?
No, I don't know the city of Phoenix.
Okay. So is there another,
Just one quick question. Will this bullet release you now, or you get out in May? What are your plans, ma'am? What do you plan to do?
I don't know. I actually didn't know that my release date was in May because I was only out for 2 weeks and my max date was March 30th, so I don't know why.
I'm sorry, was it May or April? I'm sorry.
It's April.
Well, when you got in April or when you get out now, what are your plans? My question is still the same question.
I don't know what I'm going to do when I get out in April, but I think that I'm going to get into a halfway house.
Do you plan to stay in the Phoenix area? You say you're not from Phoenix, Phoenix area, so do you plan to stay in the Phoenix area, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll let Mr. Honorable Mr. Neal talk to you about that. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Neal.
Mr. Kanell?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Ms. Reese? Ms. Reese?
Yes?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah.
I usually am not this forward, and I'm not asking this to be rude, but do you like being in the prison system?
Absolutely not.
Okay. My point is, your behavior inside the prison system hasn't been very good. And I'm not going to scold. My concern is that if you don't make a decision about what you're going to do with your life, or at least stabilizing it, I have this fear that we're going to end up seeing you again before this board. And we don't want that. We want you to succeed out there. So I would really encourage you to take some time to put some plans together about how you want to return to the community. Please take this encouragement. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Okay, Ms. Lee, nearing the end of your hearing, the board will be going into discussion to make a determination shortly. But before we do, I give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think the board should know before we make a decision. We ask that you don't repeat all the information we've already covered, but now is your opportunity. If you have something else you'd like to tell us.
I just wanted to explain my behavior in here since I've been back for a PDT. It's actually because I feel as though I'm getting harassed and intimidated and just being really put down by the authority that's around here. And so I know I don't have any proof of it, or I don't have any witnesses to go to any of that, but I just wanted to explain why I have that behavior, since that was one of what somebody said, that my behavior is because I've been getting harassed.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
So I just wanted to explain that before anything.
Okay. Have you asked for a mental health evaluation while you've been back in here?
I have. I did get a mental health evaluation before, but it really didn't help because when I got out, a couple weeks before I got out, I had a conference with Social Security people and SMI people, and I didn't agree with their ways and what they wanted to do. So I just kind of pushed that off to the side and kind of realized that I am better off trying to find my own help. And not
okay. Well, yeah, fine. Thank you, ma'am. The board is going to go into discussion and make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. But we'll ask you to stand forward, just remain silent, and I'll get back to you after we've made a decision. Okay?
So what do I do?
Just sit there. Listen on the phone, be silent, and once we've made a decision, I'll get back and talk to you, okay?
Okay.
And the board is now in discussion. That was definitely an unfortunate situation. Ms. Ruiz apparently wasn't a member of authority, and as the John Mellon came on, those as our authority and authority always wins. But she's not having much luck finding her way through society. And I really have doubts that she's going to have much luck finding help unless she's willing to accept what they offer. And most of the places she's been on are going to require the same things as Social Security and SMI. So, anyway, at this time, last year, she was a candidate for return to supervision. She's got about 2.5 months left. Hopefully, in that time period, she can put together a plan, figure out where she wants to go to get some help. And hopefully, we'll be able to get out and be a productive citizen. But I'm going to listen to a discussion from our fellow members of Florida. Okay, so based on all the information, 2018W3575, Mr. Ruiz's testimony, and the information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to revoke the community supervision of Ms. Ruiz as she was delinquent, violated her term of condition of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the community waiting support company.
Second. Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Jones, and this is my contract. Okay, ma'am, we would have voted to revoke your community supervision at this time, but according to our information, you're scheduled to be released on the 13th of April, with about 2.5 months down the road. You'll be on your own, you don't have to worry about the Department of Corrections at the time. But I would hope that you put together a good plan between now and the time of the release so that when you get out, you can go directly into treatment and get some of that taken care of. But you're the only one to take care of it because when you're offering your help, you have to be willing to accept it. And you may not be able to do it the way you want to do it. And I think if you do it the way you want to do it, you're going to look like we're at now. So we give you the best luck. We hope we don't ever have to see you here again. Unless you come into the boardroom as a spectator. So this will end your hearing, and would you put the phone down so the next inmate can pick it up? Just put it on the counter, please.
Okay, just right here?
Yes.
On the counter?
Yes.
All right, can you tell me my release date?
According to our information, it's April 13th, 2019.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.